Support for WPR comes from the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau with the 2024 Birds and Art Exhibition. Avian-themed artwork by 107 artists through December 1st. LYWAM.org.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. But Zorba,
we're not virtual.
No, we're real. Really there. And you're not wearing your VR goggles right now.
No, I'm not wearing my VR goggles. That's right.
You're wearing glasses, though.
That's right. I'm wearing glasses.
They look
great,
by the way.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk healthy
Thanks
living.
Thanks for the compliment.
Of course. As usual, we're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7414. And along with those calls, we have a few healthy living topics today, Zorba.
Say goodbye to BMI. How do you like that? Say goodbye to BMI.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it should be. You know, we could do the BMI. The BMI go away song. I bet you could come up with something like that.
All right, make a note of that.
But anyway, BMI, I mean, we've been using it. We're overusing it. It's not a good measurement. Let's talk about that, where it came from, and then what we can do about it. And then we're going to talk about statins, health outcomes with statins, incredible drugs, cost-effective. There's always a negative group about statins, but the fact is statins are awesome. We're going to talk about that and how it may fit into anyone's lifestyle.
All right. And what's our recipe today?
Brie spaghetti with tomatoes and basil. Ooh. I'm going to love brie. I love tomatoes. I love spaghetti. I'm always looking for a new way to make pasta because I like pasta. So
yeah,
that's it.
Perfect. All right. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Our first caller joins us now from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Hi. This is Karen Tucker.
Oh, nice to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm calling because I'm a 73-year-old woman, and I have been working out for a year and a half, lifting weights. I started taking creatine in March. Because I did some research, because I was struggling to, 73, put on muscle.
Sure.
Working out really hard, four days a week with the trainer.
Excellent. And so, 4 days a week with the trainer, 73, working out hard, doing exercise. How long have you been doing that?
About a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At first, the first part of it was, not very committed. So
sure.
It's really been in the last year that I have decided that I wasn't going to waste my time if I wasn't going to, really commit to it.
Right,
and
right.
So my son's a bodybuilder, and he suggested I start taking creatine to help me put on some muscle. And he also said that I'm not eating enough protein, I'm not eating enough nutrient-dense food. So I started taking creatine, and I do know that creatine makes you thirsty. You need to really drink twice as much water as you normally do.
Huh.
So I recently had some blood work done. And to be honest with you, Dr. Zorba, for the first time in my life, I think, everything was normal.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
My cholesterol has never been normal. It's normal.
Excellent.
The three things that popped up that the doctor texted me through the portal, and I've never met this doctor, was that my sodium, my chloride, and my alkaline phosphate were all out of whack.
Uh-huh. Let me jump in here. First of all, sodium and chloride. First of all, you brought up a really interesting point. You never met the doctor. The doctor is telling you things, but you never met them. So first of all, come on, it's important to have a personal interaction. So somebody looked at these numbers and said, well, I'm really not sure what they're about. Sodium can be a little bit off. Chloride can be a little bit off. It usually means nothing. Sometimes it means something. You have to have a clinical judgment. Alk-phos, a lot of things can produce alkaline phosphatase. Can be serious or not serious. Can be off a little bit or off a lot. But, I mean, you need a real interaction with a physician for something like that. I want to go back before we look at the lab work. Creatine, a lot of bodybuilders use it, and they say it helps them build up muscle. There's no really good data on it. There's absolutely no downside to it. If you feel good on it, take it. Protein, big issue as you get older. We don't get enough protein. You need about 60 grams of protein a day at least. I'm very big now on protein shakes, high protein shakes that often have 30 grams of protein for 180 calories. You can buy them all over the place, and they're delicious. I try to have one for breakfast in the morning just to add protein because I don't know if I get enough protein, but it's easy to get 30 grams of protein. I think that's really critical as you get older because you do start eating differently, and especially if you're not eating animal products. I take it you wonder about these tests. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, and one of the great thing about the lab work when it shows up for me is I can look at trends, right? To see. So the thing to me is that the sodium trend just recently went down. I had some blood work in April.
Yeah. What was the number? What's your sodium? What's it at?
Well, in April it was 133. Mm-hmm. In August, it was 130.
Yeah. Sodium, it changes 10 to 15% around the mean. So in other words, if I do your sodium and I check your electrolytes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're going to vary by 5 to 10%. And it has nothing to do with healthcare. What we worry about is like a sodium of 120. That becomes a different issue. So there's no trend there. It's variations. It's sort of like it's 72 degrees outside and yesterday it's 70 degrees and tomorrow it's 74. It doesn't mean much. But if it's 50, it means a lot. You follow me? So those numbers, there's no trend there at all. Nothing to be concerned about. But what is the Alk-Fos? That's a different drug. That's a different story.
Right. Well, my alkaline Alk-Fos was 152 in August, mm-hmm. 161 in April. Uh-huh. But looking at the trends, going back to 2020, it has always been high. I mean, at one point in 21, it was 159, and then it went to 153, I don't ever remember anybody discussing this with me
You do not necessarily have a trend, or you may have a trend, but what you need is a face-to-face discussion with a physician who looks at things. That's what you need. So when you get off, make an appointment, go in and have it looked at. I don't like the idea of anyone commenting on labs without having an interaction with a patient. Could be virtual, on the phone, but the fact is you need somebody to interpret those numbers. They may have no meaning or they may have meaning. That's the really important point. If I were giving you advice, the best advice is switch to someone different. You don't want that provider. That's my value. Okay. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take out...
Uh-oh, here comes the gavel.
There's my gavel. Different doctor, different provider. That's not the one I would go to. Bad advice.
So do you think I need to go to a nephrologist?
No, you need to have a different primary care doctor. That's what you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You need somebody to evaluate what's going on. This person did not do things.
I'm on the hunt. Thank you so much for your wise advice, as always.
Thank you. Thanks so much. You take care. Bye-bye.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do our first healthy living topic today. So on the show in the past, for many years, BMI, body mass index, it's come up over the years.
Of course.
You've been slightly critical about it, and maybe it's outdated. Yeah. Now there's some new research from JAMA about maybe it's going to be replaced.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. So let me tell you something. When I was a kid, there's something that you never saw. These were scales that were outside, and they were all around the country. And you'd put in coins. Remember coins?
I remember coins.
Remember coins?
Are those like metal circles?
Little metal circles.
Yeah.
And you'd put it in the scale, and you would have your weight.
I've seen that.
Have you seen that? I remember those, yeah. And they would have a little thing on there that would tell your weight. And basically, it's what was used by life insurance companies, your weight and your age, to determine how much they were going to charge you for life insurance. Mm. It was an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Just weight and age, that's all they used. Well, that eventually morphed into BMI. And BMI was basically height versus weight. But there's a problem with BMI. If you look at bodybuilders like Arnold Schwarzenegger and others, you would see they're looked at as obese. Well, obviously, they're not obese. you know, they have muscle mass. And I would have young guys in my office, especially men who were bodybuilders, and you look at their BMI and it would say you're overweight, you know, but obviously they're not overweight. They've got muscle mass. So there's a lot of problems with that. But the problem is abdominal obesity appears to be a major risk factor for heart attacks and stroke. And so there's another concept that it should be the BRI, the body roundness index, kind of a measurement of how round you are. It sounds kind of weird. I don't know if it ever catch on, but it's a thought. But the formula may actually be a better estimate because it's looking at central obesity and abdominal fat, which is actually linked to the risk of type 2 diabetes, heart attack, hypertension, and stroke. So what we should be doing maybe is looking at a person's height, their weight, and then measuring central obesity around the umbilicus, around the umbilical cord. And that may be a measurement that we start using. Because if you look at a bodybuilder, generally they're not going to have a bunch of body fat around their belly, right?
Right. They want six-pack abs, washboard abs.
Washboard abs, and they're going to have more, you know, their muscle mass is going to be higher up in different parts of their body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a great idea that what we should do. Now, BMI is so easy to measure. You put in your height, you put in the weight. You know, measurement around the belly is going to be a different thing. But I think this BRI thing may end up catching up because we need to do more about abdominal fat. And there's something kind of interesting. I look at my friends. I have a number of friends who are really skiers and aggressive skiers, and I'm an old guy. I used to hate saying I'm an old guy, but now I kind of like it.
You seem comfortable saying it now.
Well, I hated when my father would say it. My father would say, I remember he was younger, he'd say, I'm a super senior. And I thought, that is so dorky. Why are you saying that? Well, now that I'm around the same age, I think, hey, that isn't really so dorky as I really thought. But anyway, I look at my friends, and I notice, especially my male friends, they have more central obesity now. They have more belly fat than they used to have. And these are friends who are aggressive skiers and others. And so I don't know if the belly fat makes them a risk factor, which we know for stroke and high blood pressure and heart disease, or if it's just a combination of getting older, and that, of course, puts you at risk for those things. But if you're younger, let's say you're in the 40s and your 50s and you have belly fat, you're at risk, and that will be measured by the BRI. So we've got to get rid of the BMI, and we've got to say hello to the BRI.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, leave us a voicemail if you want. Let's go to a voicemail now. This is someone from Boulder Junction, Wisconsin.
I'm calling about a ad I've seen for a smell test. It's apparently some kind of a clinical study where they're looking at this as being a way to do an early diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. So I was wondering if there's any validity to this test. Thank you.
Sure. Well, there is validity. Quite often, people with Parkinsonism. Well, people with Parkinsonism often lose their sense of smell and their sense of taste. And it's often the first symptom.
Hmm.
So I don't know exactly what the research is, but they may be looking at research of the normal population. Like, what's the normal population as it ages? How do they reduce their sense of smell? I don't smell as well as when I was a kid. I know that. But then is there a cutoff for people who then develop Parkinsonism? In other words, do they lose their sense of smell quicker or earlier? And so I think, I don't know much about the study, but it would make sense to me. Maybe there's a test they would do and say, hey, you're at risk for developing Parkinson's later on. Anyway, people with Parkinson's lose their sense of smell. And I know that personally, my best buddy from high school who has serious Parkinsonism right now, he lost his sense of smell early on and started using hot sauce because he could taste hot sauce and pepper, but he couldn't taste food nearly as well. And then about 5 years later, developed florid Parkinsonism. Mm. So life is interesting.
It is, yeah.
See? You like that.
And that's why we
do this show, right? That's right. That's why we do this show.
Got to tie it all together somehow
Interesting. That's why we're here.
So for the caller.
To spark interest. So please.
So for the caller.
Keep me on task.
This smell test passes the smell test?
Yes.
Oh,
you know what? You know what? As I've always said, advertising is your forte.
All right. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. 7413. All right, before we take a short break, Zorba, we always love hearing from the grammar police, of course, but here's a new one. This email came from the very proud, humble, but seldom heard from, far northern division of the grammar, police. This one's from the Scandinavian police.
You know something? This is ridiculous.
Does that sound Scandinavian?
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I'm not from Scandinavia, so I can't tell you. Doesn't sound like ABBA that much, I can tell you, but that's okay.
That's not okay. All right, Zorba, this is a...
Please continue.
This is a very short email from a listener named Lauren who wrote, Zorba, FYI, Finland is not part of Scandinavia. And I think a couple weeks ago you said that. And that surprised me. I always thought Finland was, it's right there.
So
it's
did
all
I.
in that cluster.
So
right?
did I. I think of Finland as part of Scandinavia.
It's not.
I'm wrong.
So I looked it up
and
on the computer.
And on the computer, that's right. You went to your DOS file and looked it
I
up.
Booted
How
up
about
the
an
computer.
Encyclopedia? You could look it up in encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia Britannica, or the World Book for those people who remember the World Book. I'm sure you don't remember that. That was pretty good.
I remember Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah
people
would
not
go door to door
book.
And sell those.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's apparently it's not part of the Scandinavian Peninsula, but it is considered, quote, Nordic country.
Oh.
And I think another part of it is because I read the Finnish language is not related to the Swedish, Danish, or Norwegian languages. It's its own
you know
thing.
Something? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's its
I
own
no
language.
Idea.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah.
Oh, here's to Finland. Go Finland. Now I know that. That's right.
Here's that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I like
this
it.
This is why we do the show as well.
No,
like we're learning things from our listeners.
I learned seriously. Yeah. That is true.
Did Zorba run a good race, but then he stumbled at the finish line? Just let us know. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, more of your emails, and we'll be putting together a very tasty brie spaghetti recipe. All that coming up on Zorba Pasture on Your Health. From PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's sitting right across the desk from me right there.
I am.
And this is Zorba Pastor on Your
That's
Health
right.
that you're listening
That's
to.
Right.
And by
right.
the way, thanks for listening. If you're listening, which
Absolutely.
I think you are if you
Absolutely.
Hear me.
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
right.
Thank you for
Thank
listening.
You for
There's
listening.
A lot of stuff out
and,
there.
And I'll tell you something. We really appreciate it. I have people who stop me on the street and they say, thank you so much. You really changed my life. I heard something here. It really made a difference to me. One guy the other day who came up to me and he said, you know, I wasn't taking my blood pressure pills. I heard you on there and I'm taking them again and I'm going to take them for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I thought, that's what I thought. Wow, way to go. We actually, our goal here is to try to improve everyone's life by learning how to really look at good medical issues, health issues, wellness issues, make a change in your life that is positive.
All right. 800-462-7413 is the number to call with your healthy living question. That's 800-462-7413. But before we get back to those phones, Zorba, let's do our recipe. We're looking at brie spaghetti with tomatoes and basil.
Oh,
I've never
it.
Heard
it's
of
delicious.
Brie spaghetti before.
That's right.
Have you?
No,
is this
no,
a
no
thing?
I have not heard of
this
brie spaghetti.
Is this a new
spaghetti.
Thing?
This is, life is a new thing. Everything we do, life. No, no, we're using brie. That's right. But I love brie cheese.
I love brie.
When I was a kid, there was no brie around.
Oh, really?
No, it wasn't around. You had to go to like a gourmet shop to get brie and camembert. It was not common.
Huh.
It was not a common cheese. And a lot of the brie is produced in Wisconsin, in Belmont, Wisconsin.
Okay.
They produce, it's called President, and it is made by French company, and it used to be called Belmont Brie. It's delicious.
Hmm.
All right, start out with 8 ounces of the pasta of your choice.
8 ounces, the pasta of your
and
choice.
And this is beef spaghetti. What pasta would you choose?
Well, spaghetti is usually just spaghetti noodles,
yeah, that's
but
right.
that's not my pasta of choice.
Yeah.
I think I like those bow ties.
Oh, bow ties. So
those
bow ties.
Are fun.
Yeah, 8 ounces bow ties.
They're just so fancy.
A tablespoonful. It is fancy. That's right. They are fancy. A tablespoonful of chopped fresh basil.
One big tea chopped fresh
it's
basil.
It's got to be fresh. You know,
yeah.
Dried basil is not going to work here. And you need some grape tomatoes, probably about 12 medium grape tomatoes. Cut them into halves.
Grape tomatoes. Yeah, I like this part of the recipe. It says 0 to 12 grape tomatoes halved. So your choice,
so
0 to 12.
So I have a question. Are tomatoes halves or have-nots? Sorry, I had to do a joke.
I had to get to the Carl side of that
joke. They're tomato halves. They're not tomato have-nots.
I feel like the tomatoes are the have-nots. Tomatoes are the halves.
See, you were able to, as I said, advertising. 8 ounces of brie cheese cut into small pieces.
8 ounces of brie.
2 teaspoons of minced garlic.
2 little tea minced garlic.
Do you have a garlic press?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'd use a garlic press.
Yep.
2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice.
2 big tea fresh lemon juice.
You could use reconstituted in the freezer. I always have some if I don't have fresh lemons, but lemons are always great. A half cup of milk.
Half a cup of milk.
Salt and pepper, of course.
S&P.
If you like nutritional yeast, you can use that in this. I rarely use it, but sometimes I like it. It makes me feel better.
Like I'm
doing something for my body.
Okay.
And I like the taste.
Yeah, all right. Get a little culture in there. 2 big tea nutritional yeast.
1 to 2 cups of spinach.
1 to 2 cups of spinach.
And then you choose your protein. Some chicken, steak, shrimp, tofu, a cup of protein.
Ooh, I like that you got tofu in there for Tom.
Tofu is good.
Tom,
tofu.
If you're listening.
That's right. Tom, if you're listening.
Yours.
That's yours.
For you.
This tofu is for you. That's exactly right.
All right, let's make
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. All right. Cook the pasta according to the directions. Always read the directions because some pastas cook longer than others. Drain it, set it aside. While that is going on, you can might as well, while it's cooking, chop the basil, slice the tomatoes, cut the brie into small pieces. Now take the brie, melt it in a small saucepan under very low heat. Saute it with the garlic, lemon juice, 1/4 cup of milk over medium heat for 5 to 7 minutes. So the brie is going to basically affect the milk, and the milk is going to affect the brie. Add in the remaining milk, because you're only using initially 1/4 cup, and you're going to use another 1/4 cup afterwards. Put the remaining milk in there, salt and pepper, whisk the nutritional yeast if you're going to use it. Put in those tomatoes, cook for another 3 to 5 minutes until the brie is fully melted. Remove it from the heat, stir in the spinach at the very end because you don't want the spinach to cook. Put in the pasta, put in the chopped basil. Once it's coated, put the protein on top of it, and you've got a wonderful brie spaghetti, and in this case, it's going to brie bow ties. With tomatoes and
thank
basil.
You. You got my bow ties in there.
I got your bow ties
Appreciate
in.
That.
I got your bow ties in. And if you want a copy of today's recipe, go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. And, of course, through Facebook.
Back to the phones at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's try to help out a caller in Bakersfield, California. Hi.
Hi. I have a condition called false gout.
False gout.
CPPD.
That's right.
False gout.
Pseudo gout. But I like the term false gout better. When did you get it?
I don't know, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had it all my life, but it's on my spine.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And it causes quite a bit of pain. Mm-hmm. I had thought I had arthritis of my hips, but it wasn't that. So.
Oh.
Which puts calcium crystals into my spine and
Correct.
Other joints.
That's what pseudogout is. Pseudogout, and it's called pseudogout or false gout because many people often have joint swelling, and it appears to be gout. And if you go in the joint and pull it out, instead of having uric acid crystals, which are the sine qua non of gout, there are calcium crystals. So it's calcium pyrophosphate deposition disease. But pseudogout or false gout is really the common name. How long have you had it with symptoms?
With symptoms,
mm-hmm.
I'd say about 15 years.
Quite a long time. How old are you now?
87.
You sound like you're 39.
Oh, thank you. I love that.
Well,
You
love that a lot. That's right. You see, that's why people call up on the show. They get to be 39 again.
Exactly.
So first of all, pseudogout or the calcium crystals turn out to be very common. You take people in their 80s, if you actually go in their joints, a lot of them have these calcium crystals but don't have symptoms. And we don't know what causes it. We don't know why some people get symptoms and other people do not. But when you have it, it can be very uncomfortable, and the treatment really are anti-inflammatories. So the treatment for gout, typical treatment to get rid of uric acid, does not work. It's anti-inflammatories, and they have their own side effects. What are you taking for it?
Colchicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I take one tablet a day.
One tablet a day. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
One tablet a day. But what happens is if I stand too long or walk, it hurts terribly, and uh-huh. The only relief I get is if I sit down. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't do that.
No. But you may want to also just take an anti-inflammatory. If your kidneys are good, you could tolerate one or two Aleve tablets. That's naproxen. Get the generic. They're all 220 milligrams. I would take one or two tablets twice a day for 2 weeks. See how you feel. And then if you go, hey, I feel really better, then take one tablet twice a day for 2 weeks and see how you feel. Then if you go, hey, that's okay, a lower dose, then see if one tablet a day will do it. So it is an anti-inflammatory. As you're older, it does have some side effects. But if you've got pain and you're not moving around and you don't have quality of life, my thought is, you know what, sometimes it's, you know, I throw caution to the wind. I want to live my life. And you're in your 80s, and anti-inflammatories are a great treatment for pseudogout.
Fabulous, fabulous. Yeah, because I thought at first I was going to have arthritis like everybody else at my age. Well,
right. Mother Nature has handed you a different kettle of fish. Yeah, I would try that.
Yes.
That's my recommendation. So you got to get out and move your body, especially at your age.
Okay, now what exercises would be good?
Anything to move your body would be good. Range of motion exercises are really important for anyone with arthritis, anyone who's older. You know, our joints get older, they tend to gel up in the morning. And so any range of motion exercises are good. Tai Chi, yoga, you know, going to a trainer and getting somebody to actually do range of motion that would be good for your body. And especially if it's in your spine, you don't want to be stuck with a spine that doesn't move because it hurts more. And like you said, it hurts more when you stand up. So yoga. And I'll tell you, a lot of places in your area in California at senior centers have chair yoga for seniors. So you call up your local senior place and find out when they have chair yoga. There also are videos on YouTube to see chair yoga. But I like the idea of going with a group. It sometimes feels better. And then if you're doing it, the yoga instructor can tell you how to do it the right way. So chair yoga or regular yoga would be really good for your body.
Great. I really appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right. Let's go to a voicemail now, Zorba. Let's try to help out a caller from the lovely state of Tennessee.
Yeah, my question is the debate about statins versus high cholesterol. And my cholesterol is about 302 combined, and I just basically don't want to take statins. And I've switched over to grass-fed beef, and I'm just kind of testing it out to see where my next cholesterol is going to be without statins and the addition of grass-fed beef. Thanks.
Well, first of all, I don't know if grass-fed beef is going to make any difference, but it may make a difference because, you know, it turns out the protein and the protein may not be different, but the fat, the marbling in the fat within the beef that you're getting, actually, what I've read about can be different with grass-fed beef. Reducing beef is going to be better than eating grass-fed beef, so I don't want to lose that. In other words, going to fish as a source of protein may make a difference. Reducing your calories, exercise, following a more Mediterranean diet, all those things can have a significant effect on cholesterol. And frankly, you know, somebody comes into my office and their cholesterol is elevated, unless it's super high, first thing I offer them is, do you want to make a lifestyle change? And 9 out of 10 people say yes. They don't say, give me a pill.
Yeah.
They say, I want to see if I can do it better on my own. And the answer is, of course, you want to try that. And then if that doesn't work, then you want to look at your risk factors. You want to look at your family history. You want to look at whether or not you're a smoker or a previous smoker. You want to put those all together. And then you want to make a decision whether or not taking a statin is right for you. And the answer is your answer.
Good advice. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, it's time to let one of our listeners give us a piece of their mind. It's your favorite segment, Zorba. This is Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc.
Yeah.
That always gets me to giggle. All right, Zorba, the following voicemail is from a listener right here in Wisconsin.
I actually just have a comment on Dr. Zorba's response to the question of why we are experiencing cancers more and younger. And he had a wonderful response about lifestyle. And I 100% agree that lifestyle is a factor. However, I think that we also need to look at environmental factors. We have toxins on our foods. We have mixes of pesticides on our foods that have not been properly tested, especially for combinations of chemicals. Kale, one of the top 10 most toxic foods you can get through conventional agricultural practices because they're using a variety of pesticides. You might have as much as 20 different pesticides on one bunch of kale. So I do think that there is another side to the coin, and it can be rough just to tell people, oh, it's your lifestyle. So those are my thoughts. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
She brings up a really good point. So first of all, for people who are concerned, that's where organic food comes in. Mm-hmm. Organic food doesn't use pesticides. They have been tested. A lot of the pesticides have been tested. But how much testing is there? You know, I mean, if something affects you for 20 years, you're not going to, that kind of testing just isn't open there. Mm-hmm. And we do know that there are pesticides that have come and gone. 2,4-D, which was a common pesticide when I was younger, we don't use it anymore because we know it causes problems. So part of the cancer is that. Another part of the cancer is the fact that we're living longer. And so we actually used to have infectious diseases that would kill us. Back in 1900, people didn't live as long because mm-hmm. TB was a great killer. So there are a number of factors that lead to all of this. But I think for somebody who is very concerned, and many people are, organic food is the way to go. And that's the way that you can avoid it. Whether or not kale or others have more pesticides than that, I think that's open to discussion. But we do know in normal agriculture, pesticides are used because we like to see things that are beautiful. I mean, if you look at an apple and it doesn't have pesticides, you look at a tree. I had a couple of apple trees in my backyard. Quite often the apple trees would have blemishes on the apples that would fall from the tree and I would cut it out. They don't sell in stores.
Right.
They're perfect.
Yeah.
We want to have perfect looking
shiny red apples.
That's right. That's where Red Delicious came in, which is to me a tasteless apple, but because it's big and beautiful, it sells. So mm-hmm. the answer is organic.
Zorba, I did just want to quickly say, I think, Tom, if you're listening, I think this is why Tom hated kale so much. He knew about the combination of pesticides on. That's why he never wanted to eat kale. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I've stopped at kale ice cream. I think kale ice cream, no one should ever have kale ice cream. And my daughter, Dee Dee, I've got to wear it. I'm gonna wear it one day and we're going to put it on the website. I've got a no more kale shirt. Oh. I've got kale like no smoking with a circle and a line through
right,
it.
Right, right.
I put it on my Facebook page years ago, and people said, really, you're against kale? I said, no, it's a joke.
We're gonna hear from Big Kale about that.
You know, that's right. You know, I'll tell you, there's Big Pharma,
but
kale is bigger than Big Pharma.
Big Kale's huge.
That's right, Big Kale is
powerful.
Huge. They are the dark side of the nutrition industry. That's right.
Do you disagree?
They want to put it in our toothpaste. They want to put it everywhere. In wedding cakes.
Their water fountains.
In wedding cakes, in brownies. They want to put it at our water fountain.
Do you disagree with the good doc?
Or are against kale?
Leave us a voicemail, post on our Facebook page, or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have much more of the show to come. We'll have more of your calls. We'll tackle another interesting healthy living topic and more of your emails as well. So keep the radio dialed in right here on Zorba
Pasture on your health.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health, of course, and he's right across the desk from me.
I'm looking at him right now.
He's waiting. Oh, I like your new glasses.
Thank you. They're big, thick, chunky black rimmed glasses.
Kind of like a Martin Scorsese type of glasses.
Got it. Martin Scorsese.
They look great.
That's right. People stop me on the street and they think I'm Martin Scorsese. Not really.
Happens to you all the time. That's what I've heard. 800-462-7413. That's a number to call anytime if you have a question for the good doc. That's 800-462-7413. But Zorba, before we get back to the calls, let's do another healthy living topic. Let's talk about statins.
Right. This is an article about statins being cost-effective. So first of all, statins, there's lots of research on statins. Statins first came out in the 80s. Mevacor, which was made by Merck, was the first statin. They're now commonly used. They're very inexpensive to use, and they ward off heart attacks and strokes. Strong evidence shows they work better, and they work better than any other medication that reduces cholesterol, because they do not just reduce cholesterol, they reduce inflammation in the arteries and the arterioles in our body that actually produce a problem. And the older you are, actually, the better they are, because you're more at risk for heart attack and stroke the older you are. But still, about 30% of the people 40 years of age and older should be on a statin statistically. And people go, I don't want to be on a statin. I don't want to take a pill. And it's kind of interesting because if lifestyle doesn't work, statins are the answer. So this particular study looked at survival and whether or not it was cost-effective in terms of dealing with people in the hospital. So, you know, if you get a heart attack and you go into the hospital and let's say you're there for 3 to 5 days, what do you think the average cost is going to be?
It's huge. I don't even know. I can't even guess.
Probably $50,000.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's a huge amount of money, at least for all the stuff to make sure things are fine. So they looked at it from purely from a cost effective point of view. Not only are we saving lives, but are we saving money? You know, from statins, because statin can be, you can go to a number of big box stores and you can get, you know, a 90-day supply of statins for about $10 or $15. So very, very inexpensive. And lo and behold, statins are cost effective. This is a British study for the National Health Service. And so the idea is that we should have more people on statins because it's going to save money for health outcomes. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it. It's kind of the number cruncher, you know, the bean crunchers are looking at it and saying it. But the answer is we should get more information out there because there's so much misinformation about statins. So one recommendation I have is if you're in a physician's office and they say you need a statin, lifestyle first, lifestyle second, lifestyle third. In other words, give it your all, see what you can do. Better diet, a med diet, Mediterranean diet, exercise. But if it doesn't work and you're at a risk factor where we look at the 10-year life expectancy, and if you are greater than 7.5% risk to get a heart attack or stroke, that's where we actually start statins. And we have a little formula from the Framingham Heart Study. It's easy to figure out with that formula. And a statin may be for you, and it may save money for the health service.
Very good. 800?
You like that?
I do. That's a good way to tie that up.
We don't have a National Health Service, but you like I put that money saving in.
I do. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phones now. Let's try to help out a caller in Texarkana, Texas. Hi.
Hi. I'm such a fangirl of you, Dr. Zorba.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks.
My question is, okay, so here's the scenario.
Okay.
My husband has stage 4 cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And
it's esophageal.
Esophageal cancer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's spread to his liver.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And his stomach lining. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering what treatments you would recommend. I'm sorry, I'm a little caught up. I'm a little out of breath. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, well, thanks. When was his diagnosis? How long ago?
In April, mm-hmm. they verified mm-hmm. it was stage 4.
Got you.
Found out last month it spread to the stomach lining.
Yeah. And he's been on chemo?
He was on chemo and radiation, and they took him off radiation, and they switched chemo. He went from, the smaller, lighter dose of chemo mm-hmm. to what my mom calls the big boy chemo. Mm-hmm. So he's on the big boy chemo right now. Mm-hmm.
Big boy chemo. That's right, big boy.
And he's, yeah. I mm-hmm. couldn't give you the fancy terminology.
Right, sure.
but
big boy chemo. That's okay.
He's mm-hmm. taking immunotherapy.
Immunotherapy.
With the chemo.
Which is good. Sure. That's good. How old is he?
He is 46.
46. So young. So very, very difficult.
He is. His mm-hmm. oncologist was like, what are you doing in our office? You are too young to be in my office.
Right. He is too young. He's 20 years too young to have something like this.
I agree.
Yeah, it's 20 years too young. Well, quality of life is the most important issue at this point. He's tolerating the chemo, or is the chemo ruining his quality of life?
Right now, his quality is good. Mm-hmm. He's able to eat.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't lost all of his hair. He's just had some hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
He sleeps mm-hmm. more than he used to, but he still goes out and spends time with friends and does what he wants when he wants, when he's able to.
That's the answer is you want to keep your eye on the ball for that. If they haven't seen progress and it's esophageal cancer, his life expectancy is minimal. That's the hard part to face. It's so difficult at the age of 46 to actually think that we may not have a cure for that. But if he's tolerating the chemo, he's doing okay. I tell people stay with the chemo. If the chemo ruins your quality of life, then you have to have a big boy discussion and say, well, what are the chances here? And what quality of life is there? And you have to go forward from there. But if he tolerates it, I would stay on it. Have you thought about hospice for him?
He is not yet to that point,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure at some point we mm-hmm. will be needing yeah. hospice.
Uh-huh. That's all right. It's
a lot of this is just hard to imagine.
Right. Right. And keep.
Is there any in conjunction therapies you would recommend for him or supplements?
No, you've got to have a good oncologist. And if they're doing radiation and chemo, and if they're doing immunotherapy, they're on top of it as much as the science that we have. Complementary and alternative therapy doesn't seem to have much in the way to say for esophageal cancer. So what I would recommend is making him as happy as he can be during this time. How do you do that? Doing the things you like to do, making sure you can make arrangements to see friends. If you need a counselor, go and getting counseling. Counseling is really very, very useful for people in a situation like this. That's what I would recommend. It's quality of life day by day. You wake up in the morning, I'm here, this is my good day. And that's the most important thing you can do to support him. As to whether or not there's a treatment that's better, if you've got a good oncologist, you stick with them. That's always my recommendation.
Well, thank you so much. And it seems like we're on the right track.
I think you are.
Every weekend, we're spending time with friends.
That's the way to do it. Right.
My parents have a spare lake house. They're letting us use it
uh-huh.
every weekend, whenever we want.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out there and we spend time with friends and just relax and have fun and play games and...
That's what you want to do. You want to do it for him. You want to keep the ball on for him. You want his life to be as good as it can be because you don't want to have regrets. The reduction of regret. When you're looking at something, there's so many times we go, oh, I'm sorry I didn't do that. I'm sorry I didn't do this. The reduction of regret. Regret is probably the biggest emotion. One of the biggest emotions that we have is regret. So you don't want to regret anything. You want to do things that make him happy and make you happy, too.
Yeah, we're taking pictures and making memories.
That's right. That's right. Do you have any kids at all?
We do not have any children. We have a dog named Benny. We have a fur child. And he is spoiled rotten.
He is spoiled. Well, continue to keep on spoiling the dog. He'll be happy. That's right. Good doggy treats for him.
Yes. He gets pup cups and all.
I love
it. The other day, we were imagining, like, what does he dream about? Because he has these little moments where he's asleep and he's chasing something. And whimpering and whining in his sleep. And I go, I think he's dreaming that he's doing all the nice things that we're doing for each other.
Like, he's
in the car driving and taking us to go get people cups.
I like it.
Yes.
Well, thanks for your call, and thanks for sharing. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Well, thanks. You take care now.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's take an email. This is from an anonymous listener who writes, "Hello, doctor. I seem to have a problem where after I have a meal, I have an emergency need to find a bathroom an hour or two later, except today it happened immediately after having a couple of delicious tomatoes from the garden. The other day it happened after having some corn on the cob from a farm stand outside of town. Raw spinach in a salad is another culprit. When this happens, the toilet tissue has a neon yellow color to it. My doctor asked
neon yellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My doctor asked for a stool sample, but it didn't indicate anything of concern. Mm-hmm. I feel fine, but plan on traveling out of the country soon, and the thought of an emergency search for a bathroom in an unfamiliar environment worries me.
Sure.
What are your thoughts?
Imodium. That's what you do.
Okay.
Imodium. And this happens. You can have all of a sudden you have to go to the bathroom at all. Imodium, 2 milligrams a day, sometimes for people, very well tolerated. You can take it forever. I have patients who are on it, 1 or 2 a day. That's what I would recommend doing. And it just is, you've got a gastric colic reflex. Well, no, it is a reflex, but it's the reflex of when you begin eating, your colon says, oh, food's coming down, we got to make some room. Mm. And it's an exaggerated gastric colic reflex. And what you do is some people then know what foods to avoid, but if you're traveling or stuff, take Imodium.
Okay.
Imodium will do it, figure out if it's 2 milligrams. You can take up to 8 milligrams a day of it. You can figure out what to do, and that's how to handle it.
Have a healthy living question for the good doc? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is from a listener in Jacksonville, Florida.
Hello, my question is, what is Dr. Zorba Pastor's opinion on the reversibility of kidney disease? I hear one thing from some doctors and another thing from other doctors. What's Dr. Pastor's opinion? Thank you.
Well, first of all, in one way, you can't reverse it. Mm. So if you've got kidney problems, part of that may actually be permanent, you know, like an injury from that. On the other hand, you can make it better for many people, by making sure that they're hydrated, that's one way. Making sure often that they don't eat too much sodium, that's a big issue there. Following a diet, often protein is an issue. You know, you can look online or talk to a nutritionist. But some people get better, especially if they're a diabetic, taking an SGLT2 inhibitor. It's a type of drug. Flozin is usually the end. There are about 3 or 4 drugs, and the end of the drug ends in Flozin, but it's an SGLT2 inhibitor. Sometimes that drug can help put off kidney disease as it's getting bad. There's some recent research that shows that it prevents the development of kidney disease in diabetics. It's a drug that's used in diabetes. So I would look into that drug from your doctor to see whether or not that can make a difference. So we can really reverse the kidneys that are not permanent, you know, that are still doing their job. And the answer is that's probably what they're getting some information saying. Hey, some doctors say yes and some doctors say no. And the answer is yes to the part of the kidney that can respond to the treatment.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we head out, Zorba, let's take a listener email. The following question came from William in Knoxville, Tennessee. William writes, I'm a 63-year-old man in generally good health, but I have a recurring, annoying problem going back 40 years. I have sneezing fits. When I start sneezing, sometimes there will be 20 or more sneezes in rapid succession. Uh-huh. My record is 31. Huh. Then once it's passed, it usually won't happen for weeks or even months. Mm-hmm. The problem is I can't do anything else while it's happening. I can barely think. Let me tell you how much fun that was when one happened while I was driving on a busy freeway or on an important video call or at a party. The one that happened in the communion line at church is burned into my memory.
You're going to be laughing.
My family doctor just shrugs.
Right.
So I saw an allergist. Mm-hmm. The scratch test only came up with the usual suspects, ragweed and a couple of other unremarkable house dust sort of reactions. To stop them, I've tried drinking water, holding my finger under my nose, putting a wet cloth on my face, holding my breath, breathing through my mouth, sniffing lemons.
Great.
I like it. Thinking of puppies.
Thinking of puppies.
Nothing seems to stop it until it's run its course. Any thoughts you can share would be greatly appreciated.
None. And I'll tell you why. I get sneezing fits, and I've done a lot of research.
Okay.
I never used to get sneezing fits. It started maybe 10 years ago.
Oh.
And once I start sneezing, it's about 10 times for me.
And there's just nothing you can do to stop it.
Nothing at all. I can't stop it. I'll sneeze. It's not like 10 in a row quickly. One will happen, and then it's like 10 seconds later, and I'll go, I really don't want to happen, and sneeze again.
Okay.
And then 10 seconds later, sneeze again, and it has to run its course. It is something called a histamine reaction. I have no idea how to treat it. I've heard there are medications you can take every day, but it doesn't bother me every day. I'm not going to be on a pill every day, so it's something that bothers me intermittently. But if we have anyone out there in Radioland, in the cloud, who has an idea of what to do to prevent sneezing fits, I want to know, too. 1-800-462-7413. Give us a call. Put it on the Zorba Pastor website. That's Zorba. You can tell how excited I am.
You want to know how to fix
this.
I do.
ZorbaPastor.org. We've got new music. Help the doc. Help me solve my sneezing fit, and then I will help this patient.
Have a question for the good doc? He's happy to fire the answer right back at you. Just post it on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
Absolutely.
All right. If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org and, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call anytime to leave us your question. 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.
From PRX.